Dateline Washington. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, still not convinced. Georgia Republican Congressman Tom Price is with us to explain why he believes it's simply not the government's job to bail out the big three automakers. He also makes the case that the government doesn't have the money to extend anyway. Also in this edition, pushing Congress for approval of that money. We'll talk with Jason Vine, Senior Vice President of CompuWare, about a new coalition he's involved with called the Engine of Democracy. Its goal is to make it clear to Congress that the industry and our economy is dependent upon this assistance. We'll talk with Ray Hederman of the Heritage Foundation about the latest round of dismal jobs numbers just released on Friday by the Labor Department. And we'll have some much-needed end-of-the-week fun with the Capitol Steps as they find a little bit of humor in what's going on with the automakers coming for help to Washington. All of that, plus the end of the week's top news, is straight ahead in this edition of Dateline Washington. We begin with my conversation with Georgia Congressman Tom Price, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Georgia Congressman Tom Price, a Republican representing the Peach State's 6th Congressional District, and he's also a member of the House Financial Services Committee, which on Friday heard the testimony of the CEOs from the major domestic automakers, General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, as well as the head of the United Auto Workers. At issue, of course, is whether or not Congress will extend bridge loans to the auto industry to the tune of $34 billion, or at least some emergency bridge loans to GM and Chrysler, as they say they may not even make it into early 2009 without some immediate federal assistance. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome, Greg. Wonderful to be back with you.
You and I have talked about this before. We know that you were strongly opposed to the $700 billion bailout for Wall Street, and I know that you're very protective of the taxpayers' dollars and certainly were on the first go-around with the executives of the Big Three. Did they say anything differently today that has caused you to rethink your position here?
No, not at all. I think the bigger picture question is what role should the government play in all of this? And obviously, the Congress is looking at spending hard-earned taxpayer dollars, and frankly, they're hard-earned taxpayer dollars not just of the current workers but of generations yet to come. This is spending money that we don't have, and I think that, frankly, is unconscionable when there is a viable and positive and tried-and-true alternative, which is a restructuring through the Chapter 11 bankruptcy law that allows companies that are having challenges, and without a doubt these three companies are, they ought to be able to go through that process, come out on the other end a much more robust and vibrant industry. It's the way that it ought to be done in a free market economy.
Congressman, as you know, there are some of your Democratic colleagues, particularly those from Michigan, who say that if the Big Three or any of them go into Chapter 11, it's going to make customers very reluctant to buy any of their products because they're not sure if they're going to be around. How do you respond to that line of arguing?
Well, I think the real question mark is whether or not they're going to be around even with this money that they've asked for without some appropriate restructuring. My sense is, and when I've talked to the experts that look at these issues and have the expertise and have dealt with industries that are having challenges, that to have fundamental restructuring of an industry requires the legal framework of a Chapter 11 reorganization. When one does that, then all of the liabilities get on the table, all of the debts get on the table, all of the obligations get on the table. And that's when you can truly make some fundamental reforms within a particular business or organization. Without that, then we can only go a certain way because some people won't give up what they ought to give up to make certain that the whole industry is viable. So I think the more secure method is through an appropriate legal reorganization.
Even if they do end up going through Chapter 11 or if Congress denies them the bridge loans here, Congressman, do you get the sense that the leaders of these companies understand the situation that they're in and that they do have better restructuring plans on the table now than they did a couple weeks ago?
Well, I think so, but my sense is that last time they were here, they didn't think they were going to have to share a plan, because what role is it of Congress to look at a plan of a private business in terms of their strategy for going forward and giving a stamp of approval? My colleagues in Congress are very expert in many, many things, but one of them is not a collective intelligence about how to run a global business. It just isn't there. That's not the role of Congress. So, yes, they brought some new information to the table today, and that's a wonderful thing, I guess, But it doesn't answer the fundamental question of what the role of the government ought to be in all of this. And I would suggest that the Speaker and others have no expertise in determining whether what Ford has given us and Chrysler has given us and GM has given us and the unions have given us is whether or not that is the stew that will result in a soup that will be wonderful tasting and viable for the long run.
And Congressman, you seem to be opposed to this on a number of fronts. Number one, that it's not the government's responsibility to get involved in the solvency of a corporation, one that's not directly tied to the government. Number two, you don't have the money to do it. So what's the sense within the Republican conference on the Hill about what the right way to go here is? Do you feel there is a consensus?
We're getting to a consensus, but there are a number of individuals who feel that the money's already been appropriated, that the $350 billion has already been put out there and the $25 billion has already been put out there for the auto companies to provide incentives for greener cars in the future, and that what we're doing right now is just determining how that money ought to be spent. I would, and that may be the case, but I would suggest, however, but that still isn't the role of Congress. Once and we've opened this door, and we probably have launched right through the door, but the further we get into what is, in essence, a political economy and not a free market economy, the further we get to a political economy, then all people have to ask when they start a business is whether it's okay with Washington. That's not the way we became the greatest nation in the history of mankind, providing more success and more freedom and more opportunity for more individuals than any history in the history of the world. So to move us toward a political economy, continuing down that road, I think is just simply the wrong direction to head.
Well, one of the things that we also heard today, among many other things, from the chairman of the Financial Services Committee, Barney Frank of Massachusetts, is that he believes the latest jobless numbers, which were very disappointing in November, he says that makes it even more imperative that this bridge loan be extended. You've obviously explained very well as to why you don't think it's the government's responsibility or that we don't have the money to do it. What do you make of his connection between the unemployment numbers today and the need to get this done from a Washington perspective?
Well, I think it's apples and oranges and drawing the wrong conclusion. I would suggest that one of the reasons that we're in the boat that we're in right now is because the government has inserted itself in a very definitive and huge way. The government's involvement, I believe, has deepened the depth of this downturn in our economy, and I believe is prolonging it. So long as the government may get involved in this industry or this business or that business, then private money, private capital, is staying on the sidelines and not getting in the game. And appropriately so. It's an economic decision on their part to say, we're not going to consider where to invest our money until we figure out where the government isn't going to go. Well, goodness knows we don't know where the government won't go. It's making noises about going into every single business in America, and that's not what allows for a wonderful, robust, vibrant free market.
And Congressman, another thing that I'm going to guess is not going to be pleasing to you is the idea that some lawmakers are putting forward that environmental restrictions and other mandatory changes in how the big three do their business, especially in the type of vehicles they produce, in terms of an energy independence agenda in this country, is being linked to this money. What do you make of that?
Well, again, it's Congress inserting itself into a private business. There certainly is it is appropriate to have goals for cleaner air and a cleaner environment. We ought to do that, and we ought to incentivize individuals. I would suggest to you that the incentives ought to be on the consumer end, tax credits for the purchase of certain vehicles and the like, as opposed to mandates on business. When you mandate to businesses, then what you do is stifle innovation, stifle creativity, and decrease the economic productivity of a given company. So I think that it's putting the emphasis in the wrong place.
Congressman, what's your best guess on what's going to happen here in the next few weeks of the lame duck session? Will there be no federal aid, no bailout for the auto industry? Will they get their emergency funding? Will they get the whole truckload? What do you expect?
Well, I'm afraid that we're in a very political environment, and more so since the election, and the Speaker has made this a very political issue. If I take her at her word, she has said that she will not allow for Chapter 11 reorganization, which I think is the right step to take. Consequently, I suspect that the taxpayers will be on the hook for another 34 to, somebody said yesterday, $120 billion.
And Congressman, as this moves forward, what do you believe is the right message for your conference to send? You mentioned that you're moving towards a consensus on this type of thing because naturally, if the auto industry gets some help, they'll will undoubtedly be other industries coming to Washington, hoping for a little bit of federal assistance as well. What kind of concrete message do you hope that your party will be able to make clear to the American people?
Well, it's one that the American people believe, and that is that hope and opportunity rests with the American free market system and with individual Americans. It doesn't rest with greater involvement by the federal government. Larger government only stifles creativity and stifles opportunity. More taxes, which this will necessitate without a doubt, more taxes only decrease the amount of freedom for each and every American and decrease the opportunity for success for every American. So I think that's a message that will resonate. It certainly is a message that hits the heart and soul of every single American. And when folks all across this nation sit back in the evening and listen or read their newspaper about what's going on, they understand in their heart exactly what's happening. They understand that this isn't the government's role. They understand that their tax money ought not be used for this purpose. Our challenge is to communicate with them and let them know that there is a contrast, there is a difference between the two parties. We lost our way in the past. We've regained our way and our message and our belief and our principles, and we'll continue to move forward. I think that's a message that'll be embraced.
Congressman, obviously your party's in the minority for the next 2 years, which means you really can't force the agenda in the House. But if you could, what would be some of the most urgent economic priorities of the Republican side?
Well, I asked the CEOs of the three major auto companies today if they had considered putting a price tag on the amount of taxation, regulation, and litigation costs in their businesses. And amazingly, none of them had. The biggest cost drivers in business, the biggest thing that drives business overseas and jobs overseas are the intervention of the federal government in the area of taxation, litigation, and regulation. Those three things, if we were to solve those three things in a very fundamental and strategic manner, we would create an economic boom here in the United States of America that would be the envy of the world.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. Always great to have you with us, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Take care.
You too, sir. Georgia Congressman Tom Price represents his state's 6th Congressional District. He's a member of the House Financial Services Committee. This is Dateline Washington.